Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much for hanging out with me on this fabulous Friday morning. TGIF, the weekend is upon us. People, I know it seems a little iffy long about Wednesday or Thursday. It is for me, too. But hope everything is great where you are. We are getting ready. Well, we're getting ready here in St. Louis for some hockey playoffs. Yes, sirree, Bob. We, the St. Louis Blues, have actually made it to the second round of the NHL playoffs, and we are very excited about that here in St. Louis. And game one with the Dallas Stars is tonight. I'm not sure what time the puck drops. I would imagine 7:30-ish. I have not yet looked to see, but we will be quite busy here in St. Louis. Go Blues! But we also have a ton of stuff to talk about today here. Of course, I am, as always, I am loaded. You can call here. The phone number is 347-857-2620. 347-857-2620. And, of course, the chat room, as always, is open for your convenience if you want to go that way. But like I said, I'm loaded for bear here as usual, and we got a lot of stuff to get into. So let's get into it. Of course, the big news. That's what we're here for. Big news. The latest round of primaries took place on Tuesday of this week, and I don't think that there was any surprise. It was most of these, you know, these were all northeastern states. You had Connecticut, Delaware, Maryland, Pennsylvania, and Rhode Island. And as expected, Donald Trump took every single one. And not only did he take every single state, he won every single primary, he won every single county in every single state in these primaries. And that is... It's unprecedented. It's never been done before. And not only that, a few other tidbits about that is that Donald Trump has now amassed more votes than Mitt Romney. Not only has he amassed more votes in 2016 than Mitt Romney did in 2012, he has amassed more votes than anyone in the history of the Republican Party. And what he's doing here is... It's nothing short of phenomenal. It's never been seen before. And I got to think that even if you are not a Trump supporter, again, I have not come out and stated who I am supporting. I do have a candidate of my choice, but I would prefer to keep that in the idea of objectivity. I prefer to keep that private, at least right here. But I think that even if you are not a Trump supporter, what is going on here, you know, maybe I don't want to say you don't like it. Maybe that's not the right word. But even if you have problems with it, I'll say I don't know how you don't find it fascinating, really, to see what is taking place in this election cycle. But this is a report from Fox News that, again, Donald Trump completed the 5-state sweep primaries. And on the other side of the aisle, Hillary Clinton took 4 of the 5. Bernie Sanders took the Democrat Rhode Island primary. And it puts both of them, of course, closer to their respective nominations. Hillary Clinton now has nearly 90% of the delegates that she needs on the Democrat side to clinch the nomination for the Democrats. Donald Trump, I do have a delegate count here, and I'm going to get into some Indiana poll numbers here later on. But let's see. I believe the delegate count, again, this is according to a Real Clear Politics average poll. Right now, the delegate count, right now today, the delegate count stands at Donald Trump with 994, Ted Cruz with 566, and John Kasich with 153. But, again, there was really not a lot of surprise here. I think that, and I was saying this to somebody the other day, I think that for Ted Cruz, that the whole New York values comment, I don't think that it just hurt him in New York. It hurt him all over the Northeast, because you have so many small states here all clustered together, and there's so many people in that region that maybe they don't live in New York, but they commute there, they work there, they spend a lot of time there, and they quite possibly kind of include themselves in that it wasn't just a New York comment, that it was really they kind of took it more of a regional comment, and you know, I think that maybe. Not being from the Northeast, as Donald Trump is a native New Yorker, maybe Ted Cruz wasn't going to do very well in those states anyway. But I do think that had the New York values comment not been made, he might have done a little better there. But again, Donald Trump ran away with it. And again, over on the Democrat side, the Democrats now, they have the whole superdelegate thing and that whole, you know, cheating's such an ugly word. But, you know, it's when we're talking about Democrats, everything is, there's a lot of gray area, shall we say, when we're talking about the elections and voting and things of that nature. But on the Democrat side, the total number of delegates to win is 2,383. And right now on the Democrat side, the delegate count stands at Hillary Clinton with 2,141 and Bernie Sanders at 1,321. And this does include the superdelegates. And let's see, let's go on. It's, again, this is a report from Fox News. Let's see. Since this round of primaries is behind us now, of course, everyone now is looking ahead towards the Indiana primary, which takes place next Tuesday on May the 3rd. Nebraska has a GOP primary coming up on May the 10th. And if you look at the poll numbers, right now in Indiana, it's close. There's going to be a battle there between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz to see who does take that state. And right now there is roughly a 6-point difference between the two. And while that's probably outside of the margin of error, it's with you've got 4 days left. There's ground that can be made up there. And there's so many people at this point who are saying that after Tuesday's primaries that, well, it's over, and you know, that the Donald Trump is going to be the only one who really has a clear path mathematically to 1237. While that may be true, there's so many people here playing so many numbers, doing so much fuzzy math, that, you know, I don't know. I'm not convinced that the fat lady's singing yet, because again, you've got only a 6-point difference here between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump in Indiana, and again, that's there's ground there that can be made up, but I believe that Indiana is a winner take all state, and I could be wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong on that, but so I think that for Ted Cruz, that there is It's not over yet. You know, maybe you can say that the fat lady's warming up, but there's still some votes to be had here. Again, you have Indiana, you have Nebraska coming up May the 10th. You have, let me look at my list here. Of course, you have the big enchilada on June the 7th, California. But not only do Californians vote on June the 7th, you have Montana, New Jersey, New Mexico, and South Dakota. And let's see, I can't see the date here, but you still have the Oregon primary coming up too. So there are still a lot of votes to be cast. And again, yeah, everyone is also really looking ahead to California, because I believe that the delegate count there, the number of delegates to be had in California for the winter, is 172. So it's a big deal. Like I said, it's a big enchilada. But again, I tend to think that I think that Ted Cruz is going to do well in Indiana. Again, it remains to be seen how much of that 6-point difference can be made up. But you know, there's a lot of people also too who are saying that maybe your run of the mill, your average garden variety establishment types are maybe kind of accepting of the fact, or they're getting to the point that they're accepting of the fact that Donald Trump, it at this point is looking like that he will be the nominee again. You've still got several primaries to go. You've got a lot of people left to vote, and as we have seen in this election cycle, damn near anything can happen, and it is, pretty much. So I think that barring any kind of major, you know, catastrophic event, that it really does look at this point as though Donald Trump will be the Republican nominee for president. And again, there's a lot of people who are saying that maybe your garden variety establishment types are kind of, maybe they're not so much warming up to the idea as they are really kind of moving into an acceptance mode. And I don't know. I don't know about that. I have some thoughts on the never Trump people or the never Cruz people. I think that, you know, it's, nobody is saying don't support your guy. By all means, support your candidate. God bless America. That's what we do here. But I think that, and again, I also get the fact that people are sick and tired. Conservatives are sick and tired of voting for the lesser of two evils. They're sick and tired of going into the voting booth and holding their nose while they cast that vote. I get that. We've done that two times now. We did it with John McCain. We did it with Mitt Romney. I did it. I completely get that. But again, I think that we need to keep looking at the bigger picture. We need to keep our eyes on the prize, and the prize that we need to keep our eyes on is winning this election, and in no way, shape, manner, or form allowing Hillary Clinton and the Democrats to retain the White House. Because, you know, you're basically going to have Barack Obama's third term. That's what you're going to have. And whether or not Hillary Clinton would decide that she is going to turn just as left as Obama has done in the last 8 years, I mean, we know she's going to be left, but is she going to be – the Clintons really kind of have a history, at least Bill Clinton does. And again, Hillary Clinton is not her husband. She is nowhere near the politician that Bill Clinton is. Love him or hate him, you have to give Bill Clinton his props. He is a master politician. He knows what he's doing, and he does. He knows when to do it, why to do it, how to do it, and what to do, and he does it. Hillary Clinton doesn't have that. She doesn't have his charisma. She doesn't have his people skills. And that's hurting her in a lot of areas. You know, so many people like to bring up bring up Donald Trump's negatives. He has so many negatives with women, and he has so many negatives with minorities. And I was just looking on Newsmax before the show started, and there was some there was a report about, and I'm going to talk about it at length in a few minutes, but Donald Trump had a rally in Costa Mesa, California last night in Orange County, to be more specific. And Orange County is a pretty conservative enclave in California. And there was protest, there was arrest. And the protests weren't coming from the violence wasn't being started by Donald Trump supporters. They were being mocked and heckled and teased as they were waiting in line to get into the venue and things like that. And there was a woman who made a statement to the reporter there in Costa Mesa, a woman, her name escapes me now, but I believe that she it said in the report that she was from Laos. So she is an Asian American, and her words to the reporter was they were talking about all the things that people were protesting about Donald Trump, and she said all of this stuff about Donald Trump being a racist. Look around you, look at the crowd, and what she was pointing to was not just herself, but all of the Hispanics, Latinos, African Americans, all of those people that were in the crowd. And so there's a lot of talk about whether or not Donald Trump is A, going to be able to bring a so completely fractured Republican Party together, because if he is the nominee, the responsibility is on him to do that. Is he going to be able to bring, you know, these are all the groups that Republicans have been saying for years that they want to attract. They want to attract more minorities. They want to attract those blue-collar Democrats. They want to attract those people. Well, Donald Trump is doing that. And, you know, you can argue the fact that, well, if people say that Donald Trump is attracting Democrats, maybe those Democrats are voting for him just because they think get him to be the nominee, then he's going to be the easiest one for Hillary to beat. That may be true. But I do think that there is some truth to the point that Donald Trump is bringing in a lot of people into the Republican Party, and at least if he's not completely bringing them into the Republican Party, they're showing some interest and they're showing some curiosity in it. Hey, is this really, are these people really what I've been hearing about and seeing and reading about? Let me look into this. And if that's the case, then I don't see a problem with that. But you know, Hillary Clinton, everybody likes to talk about the Clinton machine, and it is definitely a machine. And one of the things that people talked about immediately following the 2008 election, the election of Barack Obama, was how here came this guy. He was a state senator in Illinois before he became a United States senator, just kind of came out of nowhere and beat the Clinton machine. And that was one of the things love or hate Barack Obama, I think one of the things that people will study about the 2008 election, not just the election of the first African-American president, but the fact that he managed to beat such a political machine as the Clintons and do it from relatively out of the blue, relatively nowhere. But one of the things that you can plan on hearing Hillary Clinton do and say incessantly ad nauseum until November is what Donald Trump likes to call play the woman card. And, you know, we all know that she's going to play the race card, and you're going to hear, I ain't no ways tired and that whole thing. But she's also going to play the woman card, and she's going to play it a lot. So what I'm trying to say is be prepared to hear a lot of this.
Now, the other day, Mr. Trump accused me of playing the, quote, woman card. Well, if fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
You're going to hear that line, you're going to hear that tagline over and over and over again. You can bank on it. And here's the problem with that is that, excuse me, Hillary wants it both ways. Hillary wants to sit on both sides of the fence. She wants to be the champion of women's rights, and she wants to play the whole "I am woman, hear me roar" routine. But at the same time, we know that Donald Trump, if he is the nominee, if they are both the nominees of their respective parties, Donald Trump has promised to go at her and go at her hard. So if he does that, I think we can also be pretty assured that she's going to try to play the woman card. You're just picking on me because I'm a girl. Well, guess what, Hillary? Newsflash. You can't have it both ways. You can't play "I am woman, hear me roar" and then say, "You're just picking on me because I'm a girl." It doesn't work like that. She's going to have to make a choice. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see which choice that she makes. But I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to come back, and we are going to talk about we're going to talk a little Ted Cruz. Of course, he picked a running mate. We're going to talk about that weird Cruz-John Kasich alliance, and, of course, John Boehner's interesting comments about Ted Cruz. You know, whether you're a Ted Cruz supporter or not, this was really – just when you think you've seen it all this election cycle, well, guess what? You haven't. But you're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio, and I would be remiss if I did not tell you that you can now hear rebroadcasts of Conservative Cauldron Radio on the Internet Conservative Radio Network. You can go to conservativeradionetwork.com. I believe at 2 p.m. Central Time this afternoon you can hear a rebroadcast, and there will be some rebroadcasts over the weekend, but you can just go to the website and find us there and check it out. But I'm going to take a break. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I'm Becky Noble. Don't go anywhere. I've got a ton more stuff to get to. I'll be right back.
You're always trying to make a fool.
We're back. You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for chilling with me on this Friday morning. TGIF people, we've made it. The weekend is upon us, and that is a good thing. You can call in here. The number is 347-857-2620. And you can use the chat room. It is open, as always, if you want to go that route. But, of course, we are talking presidential politics. And, gee, what else would we be talking? There's actually other things going on, but you'd never know it. But, like I said earlier, I've got some poll numbers here. This, again, is from the Real Clear Politics average poll. They must have a bazillion polls that they all average together. They got numbers, guys, that do that. But right now, nationally, Donald Trump is at 43%. Ted Cruz is at 30%. John Kasich 21%. Again, in the delegate count, as I said earlier, Donald Trump has 994. Ted Cruz 566. John Kasich, 153. In Indiana, the Indiana primary takes place on Tuesday, May the 3rd. Right now in Indiana, Donald Trump at 39.3%, Ted Cruz, 33%, and John Kasich, 19.3%. In California, which is still, for all intents and purposes, a little over a month away, but a lot is going on with that. In California right now, Donald Trump is at 45.7%, Ted Cruz 28.3%, and John Kasich 18%. On the other side of the aisle, nationally, Hillary Clinton is at 49.5%. Bernie Sanders is at 45.8%. In their delegate count, again, which is Democrats need more delegates to clinch their nomination than Republicans. I believe the number is 2,131, but right now Hillary Clinton's delegate count is at 1,645, Bernie Sanders 1,318. And in Indiana, Hillary Clinton leads Bernie Sanders, excuse me, with 47.7%. Bernie Sanders has 43.7%. Now that's maybe right within the margin of error. So again, really, on both sides of the aisle, anything can happen in Indiana. In California, Hillary Clinton is at 49%, Bernie Sanders at 42.3%. So that's kind of a overlook of what is going on poll number-wise. But, again, one of the things that was kind of big news this week is former Speaker of the House, John Boehner. A lot of people, you know, when you are in politics for the number of years that a guy like John Boehner is, and he, you know, he may be the poster child for term limits, he and a lot of other people, you run across a lot of people and you tend to make some enemies maybe, and you say things. You say things about people, and, well, John Boehner made some really, whether you love or hate Ted Cruz, regardless of your feelings about Ted Cruz, he made some really outrageous statements this week about Ted Cruz. And, well, he called Ted Cruz Lucifer, and pretty outrageous, like I said, regardless of whether you love or hate Ted Cruz, I thought it was pretty unacceptable, and here's a little bit of what former Speaker of the House Boehner had to say. These were his thoughts on Senator Cruz and his run for the presidency. The sound here is a little sounds a little janky, but you have to listen a little bit close. I tried to tweak it as best I could, but here is former Speaker of the House John Boehner.
So how about saying your opinion about some of the other people running for the highest office? How about Ted Cruz? Lucifer in the flesh. I have a history of getting along with almost everybody.
In Washington, I'm the same Democrat friends that I have Republican friends. I get along with almost everybody. But I have never worked with a more miserable son of a bitch. Over my dead body, would be president.
Well, if you got that with your opinion, Donald Trump.
All right, Donald Trump and I are friends. We play a lot of golf together over the years. We used to be texting buddies. He used to call me once in a while, pat me on the back, cheer me up. Thankfully, I haven't heard from him since he decided to run for president. It looks like he's going to be the nominee. I cannot believe this, but while he's my friend, though, I think he ought to be president. And I don't know how you insult, two-thirds of American women, insult every minority group known to man, and expect to get elected. There just aren't enough white males to elect you.
That is, again, it's so outrageous and so over the top and so off the charts that, again, whether or not you like or hate Ted Cruz, it's unacceptable. And I realize that politics is a blood sport and that people are going to say things about you and to you that are unacceptable. But for someone who was third in line to the presidency, it's unprofessional. It's petty. It's childish. There's the list of adjectives goes on and on. But here's the thing. And guys like John Boehner don't see this. They don't realize that they are the problem. That guys like him are what the American people are so pissed at. Is guys like that who have been in office forever and ever and ever and ever, and they do what they have to do and they say what they have to say in order to keep their power, in order to keep their status, in order to keep their position. And they do get along with everybody, but when they say that, they're not getting along with everyone in a normal everyday sense. They're getting along with people in order to gain things and to get things and to do things that are going to benefit them. And so when guys like John Boehner say, well, I get along with everybody. I have Republican friends and Democrat friends. Guess what? That's the problem. And he doesn't see that. And guys like him don't see it. And it's the reason why the phenomenon, the movement, because let's face it, whether or not Donald Trump is the president or not, Donald Trump has started a movement. And whether or not you call that the Trump movement, no matter what you call it, it's not going away anytime soon because a lot of people feel like that they have found their voice. And it's something that guys like John Boehner, those old school, those establishment, we've been here forever and a day, Republican types, just don't get. And I don't think, not only do they not get it, they don't want to get it. It gets in the way. It gets in the way of their agenda. But Ted Cruz responded to former Speaker Boehner's comments, and a couple of the things he had to say were actually pretty interesting and makes you, it may be one of those things that makes you go,
John Boehner had some interesting comments last night. He actually didn't abbreviate what he said. He was a little bit more expressive. He allowed his inner Trump to come out. John Boehner, in his remarks, described Donald Trump as his texting and golfing buddy. So if you want someone that's a texting and golfing buddy, if you're happy with John Boehner as Speaker of the House and you want a president like John Boehner, Donald Trump's your man. He said something like, he's the worst SOB I've ever worked with, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Lucifer in the flesh.
Well, there was that too. But the interesting thing is, he said that I've ever worked with. I've never worked with John Boehner. Truth of the matter is, I don't know the man. I've met John Boehner two or three times in my life. If I have said 50 words in my life to John Boehner, I'd be surprised. And every one of them has consisted of pleasantries. Good to see you, Mr. Speaker. I've never had any substantive conversation with John Boehner in any respect.
NBC News fans, thank you.
So what I found most interesting about that was that Ted Cruz says he's never met John Boehner. If he said 50 words to him, it was exchanging pleasantries. Good morning, Mr. Speaker. How you doing? So for John Boehner to say the things that he said about Ted Cruz, having basically never met him, and according to Ted Cruz, they've never worked together, that makes it even worse because, you know, you can make a ton of assumptions about why John Boehner said what he said, but for somebody to make a statement like that and not even have met the person that you're making that statement about, it makes it even more bizarre. It makes you wonder why even more. But Utah Senator Mike Lee, who is a pretty staunch conservative and a guy who is a guy who has the backs of conservatives and stands up for conservatism and votes consistently for conservatism, did an interview with Mark Levin and where they were discussing former Speaker of the House Boehner's comments. And according to Mike Lee, he has been as polite as he can be over the years when he has encountered former Speaker of the House Boehner, but maybe not so much anymore. Here's what Utah Senator Mike Lee had to say to Mark Levin about former Speaker of the House John Boehner.
He is the most solidly conservative senator in the United States Senate, and that's saying something. Is Senator Mike Lee, how are you, sir?
Doing great. Thank you very much, Mark.
Now, Mike Lee, you see what John Boehner said about Ted Cruz at Stanford. You've heard what Pete King had to say on CNN. Pretty, pretty heavy, vile stuff, my friend. What is your response?
It's really vile stuff. And, you know, what perplexes me about this, Mark, is that these are not words that I hear these gentlemen using in response to anyone else. I hear John Boehner heaping praise on Bernie Sanders, heaping praise on Hillary Clinton, heaping praise on Donald Trump. And yet for Ted Cruz, what does he call me? He calls him the devil. He calls him Satan. He calls him Lucifer. Why? The question is why? Why does he do this? Well, there's an answer. Ted Cruz actually challenges the system, the very same system that Donald Trump claims to rail against. And this is an insightful moment. I mean, first of all, I'm appalled that John Boehner would do this. I have bit my tongue. I've held my tongue for years on John Boehner, even when I disagreed with him, because I respected him as a person and I respected his office enough to not call him out on it personally. I expressed disagreement with his policy, but I never ridiculed him personally. The fact that he has done this is appalling, and he should be ashamed of himself, and I demand that he apologize. But more importantly, Mark, this is a wake-up call to the American people. This is a wake-up call to people who are supporting Donald Trump, thinking that he's the guy who's going to rail against the establishment. He's not. He is the establishment. He's the golfing buddy, the texting buddy of John Boehner, the same guy who praises Hillary Clinton, who praises Bernie Sanders. And so if you're out there thinking that Donald Trump is somehow going to be the guy who takes down the establishment, think again, because quite the opposite is true.
I don't think I've ever heard you so angry. This has really fired you up.
I am angry, Mark. I am livid. Because to have him talk in those terms about my friend Ted Cruz, when he doesn't know Ted Cruz from Adam, Ted Cruz has probably never spoken more than four or five words to John Boehner in his life. And I'm confident that every one of those words was polite. And yet he goes out and calls him the devil. This is wrong. And this should be a wake-up call to everyone in America. In particular, I speak to my friends in Indiana. Anyone who's thinking about how to vote in Indiana on Tuesday, please, please vote for Ted Cruz. Get your friends and your neighbors out to vote for Ted Cruz. If you don't live in Indiana, if you live in a state where you've already voted, you can show your support for Ted Cruz and your revulsion for this vile statement that John Boehner has made by going to tedcruz.org and volunteer your time or your money or anything else you've got to offer. We have got to help make clear that Ted Cruz is the only man in this race who will actually fight against the Washington, D.C. establishment because Donald Trump is part of it.
That was Utah Senator Mike Lee on former Speaker of the House John Boehner's comments calling Ted Cruz, calling him Lucifer. And not only was Mike Lee defending his friend, which I don't think anybody has a problem with, but, you know, the things that he said about John Boehner, again, it the fact that John Boehner maybe has never even met Ted Cruz is makes it even that more bizarre. But in other Ted Cruz news, in Cruz news, of course, Ted Cruz picked a running mate this week, and his choice of a vice presidential running mate was former Hewlett-Packard CEO Carly Fiorina, also former presidential candidate Carly Fiorina. A lot of people had different thoughts on his timing as to why he was doing this now, as to why he was even doing it, B, as to why he was doing it now. Because a lot of people, and he did this the day after he lost all five of those Northeastern primaries, which kind of was a head-scratcher for a lot of people. And in fact, I saw somebody make a post on Facebook or Twitter, one of the places that that wasn't, and it was somebody who was from here in St. Louis after we just, and he made the analogy of the first round of the hockey playoffs where the Blues knocked off the Chicago Blackhawks. Yay! For in the first round of the playoffs, and the post that they posted was, isn't Ted Cruz picking a running mate a lot like the Chicago Blackhawks being fitted for their 2015-2016 championship rings after losing in the first round of the playoffs? And it was a really good analogy because, yeah, it was. And but aside from that, a lot of people thought that that Carly Fiorina was a great choice. And one of the things that kept being consistently brought up was the fact that she could take on Hillary Clinton like nobody else. And there's a very simple reason for that. And that is that, and any women listening out there are probably going to agree with me, is that basically a woman can say things about another woman that men just can't get away with. But what is interesting, gonna how that's going to be challenged is, of course, if and when it comes down to Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, because I don't think that I don't think that Donald Trump is going to treat her with kid gloves, shall we say? But again, a lot of people thought that Carly Fiorina was a good choice, that it would possibly help Ted Cruz in California, given the fact that she, I believe it was in 2007, ran for the Senate there against Barbara Boxer. Lost pretty handily, but ran against her nonetheless. That she was a very accomplished person, again, having been CEO of Hewlett-Packard, and she's gone through some personal fights of her own, too. She is a breast cancer survivor. She lost a stepdaughter to a drug overdose, and that she would prove to be a formidable vice presidential opponent. And also on the obvious side of that she would help. I'm not sure what Ted Cruz's negatives are with women, but that the pick would obviously help him with women and garner their vote. But, you know, there's a lot of people who kind of dismiss her run at Hewlett-Packard. She was forced to resign amid some weak earnings as the company struggled to digest a $19 billion merger with Compaq. And as a result of that, there were about 30,000 layoffs that took place during her tenure as CEO. There's a quote here. Craig Robinson, former political director of the Iowa Republican Party, said Cruz would have been better off picking an experienced politician who could help him secure delegates in a fight at the convention should it come down to that. But some were applauded the choice. Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List, which works to elect political candidates who oppose abortion rights, said Fiorina was an ideal choice. And the quote from Marjorie Dannenfelser was, "She will take Hillary Clinton head on," which she will do that. And so we will see what happens now that Ted Cruz does in fact have a running mate. And it could make things a little interesting in California, and it could make Ted Cruz getting the women's vote that much easier. I'm going to take another quick break. I'm going to be right back, and we will wrap things up and talk about some Democrat voter turnout and a couple other things. Stay right where you are. I'll be right back.
I love those times so well. You know I wouldn't change a thing. That's how I learned to sing. That's what I know so well. Yes, I know how to party, but I know how to tell it like it is. I want to thank you for the good times and the lessons that I learned to be here. Don't you know?
You're listening to Conservative Cauldron Radio. I am your host, Becky Noble. Thank you, everyone, for hanging out with me today, TGIF. Before we wrap things up for the day, a couple other little tidbits here. This is a report I got from Breitbart, and it could be another reason why Hillary Clinton is, well, maybe could have some problems. And it says, election data compiled by Breitbart News on the Democratic Party's primaries and caucuses in 2016 and 2008 show that turnout is down significantly, nearly 20% from the last contested convention. The data also shows that about 4.5 million fewer people have voted in the Democrat presidential contest this year versus 2008. Since Hillary Clinton also ran in 2008, it makes the data all the more interesting because it's essentially a comparison against her 2008 race and how she did against Barack Obama, of course, which was obviously not so great. But the steep drop-off is so significant on the Democrat side that the vast majority of states saw drops in voter participation in Democratic primaries and caucuses. The following contest saw less voters participate on the Democrat side in the primaries and caucuses than 2008 contests. Alabama, Arkansas, Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Missouri, New Hampshire, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Virginia, Utah, Wisconsin, Vermont, American Samoa, Hawaii, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Nevada, Washington State, and Wyoming. That's a lot of places where voter turnout has dropped off. And in Texas, for instance, 50.06% less Democrats participated in 2016 than did in 2008. Mississippi saw a drop-off of 206,988 votes, or 47.68%. And the list goes on and on here. It's another thing that the mainstream media is not going to tell you about, and that is the fact that, Democrats are not excited about Hillary Clinton. Oh, there's plenty of young people who are excited about Bernie Sanders because they think they're going to get some free stuff, but beyond that, you can turn on the TV and see all of the the supposed big crowds for Hillary, but according to those numbers, according to Breitbart and according to their polling data that they have there with another outfit, that it's just not there. But very quickly here, before we have to get out of here and wrap up a little bit early for the Conservative Talk Radio Network folks, we have one more thing. That wasn't it. This week's WTF segment comes to us from the Dallas area. Perhaps the least controversial of foods, soup isn't exactly the kind of fare that's likely to cause a commotion. Last week, though, a freebie bowl of soup meant potential legal woes for a mom-and-pop restaurant in Mansfield, again, which is near Dallas. WFAA reports that Our Place, a cozy country kitchen serving up standards like chicken fried steak and homemade pie since 1985, was slapped with a lawsuit for $2.25 in damages and $250 in attorney's fees after failing to provide a customer with a, quote, freebie bowl of soup that typically accompanies lunch or dinner. Attorney at law and soup enthusiast Dwayne Downing notified Our Place of the lawsuit via letter last Thursday, alleging that the restaurant had engaged in, quote, deceptive trade practices, unquote, by claiming that soup was served with the meal. Our Place responded to the lawsuit in their own unique way, offering all patrons 10% off their bill for bringing in cans of soup to donate to the local food bank. As for Mr. Downing, he has since acknowledged to WFAA that the menu at Our Place specifically states that the soup is available, quote, while supplies last. You know, let's look at that for a minute. The lawsuit is for $2.25, but the attorney fees, $50. It's only soup. You know what I mean? Only soup. With that, I am out of here. Please go later on to conservativeradionetwork.com and check out rebroadcasts of Conservative Cauldron Radio, I believe, at 2 p.m. Central Time today and over the weekend. Please go to theconservativecauldron.blogspot.com, facebook.com/BeckyNoble, and on Twitter at Patriot Witch. You can find myself, Kevin Jackson, and lots of awesomeness also at theblacksphere.net. Excuse me. It's time to go. Everyone have a fantastic weekend, and I will see you next time.
Saturday.